Jesus was on the mountain, and when he sat down, the disciples came to him, and he taught them. I'm going to sit when I do the message, but before I sit to do the message, I'm going to stand, as Dave Robertson say, and give a little testimony. I went to pick him up the other day. You know, David had a wreck, was in intensive care for weeks, and so when I went to pick him up, he did a little jig around on the car for me. He's gone from a wheelchair to a walker to a cane, and now he's doing a little jig around the car. He said, I had to give a little testimony of what God has done. And we went through a regimen of prayer preparing me for a surgery I was going to do. The anesthesiologist wouldn't do it because of my heart unless we went to the hospital, so they rescheduled everything. So we get a double dose of prayer before I get actually to the hospital. Had a 3-day regimen of getting ready, and my surgery wasn't going to be till 2 o'clock. And so I call the hospital and I say, "Does the MPO rule going to work for me, or is it okay if I eat breakfast?" And he said, "Did they tell you that?" And I said, "Well, I mean, no. What is that? Nothing per oral. So what that means, you know, before surgery." And so we get in there, and she starts going through all the routine. And she said, "Have you eaten anything today?" And I said, "Yes, ma'am." I said, "I called the hospital. They said it'd be okay." And she said, "It's not okay." And he said, and I said, "Wait a minute, you know." But anyhow, she said, "I'll call the anesthesiologist." And he said, "No." And so the surgeon came in and he said, "Got one or two choices. We'll do it no anesthesia, and or we'll postpone it." I said, "We'll do it no anesthesia." And I said, "I'm at peace and I won't move." And he said, "Okay." And so he goes out and the nurse comes back in and she said, she's doing the rest of her stuff. And she says, "Do you have any religious beliefs that might conflict with what we're going to do?" And I said, "Yes, ma'am, I do. And I believe in prayer. And I've been prayed for, and I'm being prayed for people on the other side of the world, in Uganda for sure." And I said, "If that's a conflict, I can't stop everybody from doing that." And she said, "No, prayer's okay." So, of course, they want to know if I had to give me blood and do all that kind of stuff. They're going to have some kind of major thing. And so we did the surgery, and there was a team of them. One guy was on some kind of continuous x-ray machine. He's watching what the guy's doing as he's working and probing. And being awake, I got to listen to to what God was doing. You know, the one guy said, "You see that spot over there? And you see that right there?" And he says, "Yeah, I can." The surgeon said, "Yeah, I can see it." And he was guiding him around as he was doing. And he would go in and he says, "I see no contrast, you know, meaning between the bone and the tissue where they need to be able to see." And so the guy going on, he'd probe and he'd scratch and he'd do his little thing, whatever he's doing. And the guy says, "Perfect. Man, I've never seen it that well." And of course, I'm just saying, "Yeah, there's a reason it's perfect. You know, this has been guided by the Lord." And probably 45 minutes of poking me with needles and cutting holes and running probes down in there and working and doing all this kind of stuff. We came back in the room. He said, "Gail," he said, "not only did he not move, he didn't even flinch." He said, "For 45 minutes, I was cutting and probing and pushing." He would tell me, he'd say, "This is going to hurt." And he'd do his thing. And I just, you know, I mean, in the peace of the Lord, you just lay there. You tell your body, "God's got this," and you don't react. And the nurse said, "Your blood pressure is the same when you came in here as right now in the middle of this. And when you left, it's the same. Is that the same?" I said, "Well, that's what it's supposed to do. But my result has been really great. Yesterday, for the first time in 2 or 3 years, my legs felt like they were under me. I've been having so much pain going down through my legs, it makes my muscles, you know, like when you got a pain in your hand and you want to grab something and snatch it and grab it, the brain says, that muscle is causing pain. We're not going to grip anymore. Well, my legs have been that way for 2 or 3 years now with this back pain. And all of a sudden yesterday I said, man, I can actually walk. I can run up a set. I didn't, you know, Gail said I can't run up the stairs yet, but at any rate, I feel like I get a good result. Today is the Friday, Saturday. So today's the second day after surgery. And I'm now feeling where they did all the cutting and probing and pushing and shoving and all that kind of stuff. So I'm a little sore, but, you know, I'm gonna be better than I've been in quite a while. So, I'm very thankful. And, so just know for sure that, God's, did a blessing. And, we pray for the same for Eric. He had one shot. They scheduled me once and the second one's better. So maybe it'd be the same for you. Okay. Three. This is the third time around. Right. Okay. All right. Let's pray. And then I'll do the teaching. Father, we always reproach you with thanksgivings. Well, you're such a gracious God. Now as we open the word, take time to listen to what you're teaching us. We pray for open hearts to be able to benefit from what you have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, am I close enough to the microphone? Can you hear me all right? I can go wireless if I need to. All right, let's begin. Now, in John chapter 10, no, you don't need to go there. I'm just going to quote quickly. In John chapter 10, Jesus said, the shepherd will call the sheep, how? By name. Now that is real important. We don't name cattle because we wind up, you know, they've been on the plate, you know, so we don't name them. But, the shepherd calls the sheep by name. And they hear the voice and they follow him. In John 14 through 16, Jesus said, I'm leaving, but the Paraclete is coming, the Holy Spirit, Comforter, Helper. And when the Spirit comes, He will teach you, lead you, and guide you into all truth. And in John 15, He said, this is how it's going to work. I'm the vine, you're the branch. If you abide in me, something supernatural is going to happen through you because it's not a product of you. It's a product of what's coming from the vine through you. A supernatural expression. When Jesus was giving this teaching, these were not colorful words of poetry. He was not just kind of, you know, saying something that's kind of nice to hear. Christianity has, in many ways, not taking Jesus' words literally. I was in church all my life, but hearing the voice of the shepherd was not taught. Having a shepherd, you got this little picture on the wall of this shepherd with a sheep over his head. I tried that with a calf one time. They weigh about 70, 80 pounds. It's a little big job, you know. But we have that picture. Oh, I've got a shepherd. He carries a lamb over his shoulder. And, you know, the Spirit's a helper. It's like a friend lending a helping hand. And, the vine and the branch, well, we enjoy eating the fruit off the vine. This, what Jesus was talking, is so much more vast than any of those images. What he's talking about is something that we truly walk in, live in. It becomes our way of life. But it's an invitation. When Jesus said, I'm the shepherd, I'm not going to take a lasso and hook you around the neck and drag you into the flock. It's an invitation. I give you this invitation as the best news you'll ever hear. Good news. You have the opportunity to participate in all of this. So it is to participate in a daily life-giving miracle of God's supernatural power working in you and through you. Boy, you step back and you look at that and you say, man, wow, such a thought, such a thing that God would make himself available to us in that personal, intimate way. Now, so Christianity goes beyond the limited view that many people have. What does Christianity mean? Oh, that's a bunch of people who go to church, they read their Bible, and they try to be good, and they wait to go to heaven when they die. No. Christianity is people who hear the voice of the shepherd and him call them personally by name. They have the power of the Holy Spirit within them. And it's a power that raises the dead. It's a resurrection power that he's working in you. And something supernatural happens through us giving glory to God. That's what it means to be a Christian. And it's possible because of Jesus' supernatural coming to our earth. His sacrificial death. He pays the penalty and removes the barrier that allows us to have such a relationship with God, our Father. And as a Christian, I remember as a kid accepting the love of God because God so loved what? The world. And I'm part of the world, so God just kind of loves everybody. Okay, and I'm in there and among that, and it doesn't, that's a statement of scripture that God so loved the world, meaning he loves everybody, but he calls his sheep by name. You're not going to be an unknown face in the crowd to God. He knows your name. You'll not be left to struggle on your own against everything in life that seeks to destroy you. The Paraclete's going to come. He'll bring power with him to enable you to stand. You are loved. You'll be called by name. The result then will be there's victory in your life and not defeat. You'll never say, as a Christian, life's pretty dull. Feel like I'm just existing. Just kind of floating along with no purpose. As a Christian, life is transformed. You should be experiencing something new every day in God. You should be learning something new every day in God. You should be gaining some new strength in God every day. You're God's child. One day you'll enjoy with all the saints the inheritance that lays ahead for all of us. The good news, the opportunity to participate in this is not by human achievement, nor by human merit. The penalty's been paid, the barrier's been removed. The penalty paid, the barrier removed. Not so we would just go on sinning, coming back for the penalty to be removed and the sin forgiven, but so that we could become what we've been declared to be. By the Paraclete working inside of us, by the power of God's Spirit, enabling us to move to something beyond. He wants us to personally and specifically team up with him, allowing his transforming resurrection power to change us. But it's an invitation. It's not something God's going to force, he's going to push, and he's going to make happen. It's an invitation. Jesus stood among the people of his days and says, I give you good news. God wants to give this to you. But every gift has to be received. I can buy you a gift and I can put it in a box and I can wrap it with a ribbon and I can hand it to you and you can refuse to receive it. I can hand it to you, you can receive it and set it on beside you and never open it. So the greatest obstacle for you to be able to walk in this is to receive it. You say, oh, well, you know, what do you mean? This gift, If you give it a casual, half-hearted response, you can't receive what he offers. I'm going to press this real hard. James says, a double-minded man, meaning, yes, no, maybe, okay, maybe so, maybe not. A double-minded man cannot receive the things of God. When you say, Jesus says he called them the sheep by name, oh, he doesn't really mean that. That's just figurative language. That's just a poetic expression. The Holy Spirit's going to come down and live inside of you through the miracle of new birth and come with power, resurrection power, that's going to give you the strength to defeat the lies of the devil and give you the power to become something new and different in God. Oh, well, it doesn't really mean that. Maybe it's just more of that poetic language. A double-minded man cannot receive the things of God. Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 18, I believe, he says, when he went up on the mountain there called Mount Carmel, and he said to Israel, you dudes got to make up your mind. You got to decide. You got to quit limping back and forth between two decisions. In one way you want to serve God, in the other way you want to serve the world. You follow Baal and the fertility god and all of that, and then you want to come back and follow Yahweh, the Jehovah, the Lord of Israel. He said it doesn't work that way. Make up your mind. Make a decision. And a decision, as the scripture tells us, needs to be made with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Jesus said, if it could be bought, you would gladly go sell all that you have it. This decision to follow Christ stands above all else life offers. There are two principles involved in being able to walk in what Jesus is talking about. The first is an appropriate response to the magnitude of what's offered. The appropriate response to the magnitude of what I've offered. Listen, the God of the universe, as we pointed to during sharing time, this God of the universe is the one who says, I will call you by name. I know even the number of the hairs of your head. I will indwell you with my power, and with my power I will allow you to be an expression of me through the world. What response did you get to that? You should say, man, that's the greatest thing that could have possibly be in all of life, and it is. And so it should be a headlong, all in, no reservation kind of decision. And it's only when you give God that kind of response, then what he offers is possible. And what that means is, God says, I can't teach you spiritually. I can't grow you spiritually unless you stay with me. And you want it more than you want your next pizza and ball game. You gotta want it. It's gotta have priority in your life. I can't express myself through somebody that's a maybe yes and a maybe no. Now, if you come to me, you say, Ed, I've made a decision about what? I've decided I'm going to start a physical fitness program. Complete with diet, exercise. I said, great. There's lots of benefits to that. In fact, I got a 2-day fence building project that I need to get completed. And my dear wife is hounding me about, don't lift anything, don't overdo any hard work. So, okay, I'll give you 30 days of March the 23rd. That's a Saturday. I'm going to put a team together, and we're going to build fence for 2 days. And show up. By then, you'll be ready. Well, maybe don't set the date just yet. I thought you'd made a decision. Well, you know how it goes. I've made a decision, but I'm not sure I'll be ready by then. And I said, well, then you haven't made a decision. Because if you've made a decision, March the 23rd, you'll be there. Ready, excited, and physically fit to not die in the process. Now, that's what we're talking about here. A heart decision will make your body, mind, and spirit follow. A heart decision we're talking about here is what is the door opener. When you finally decide in your heart you're going to do it, then everything lines up. Let me give you a couple of illustrations. If you set your heart on a special trip you want to make, wherever it is, whatever you want to do. Okay? Each to his own. I just soon go down to the creek. But now, Gail, she loves to travel. But she's got a travel partner there that she does some of that with. Now, when you set your heart on a trip, you think about it, you plan it, you research it, you think about where you're going to eat, what you're going to see, and what do? You count the days until where we're going to start. I used to count days when I was leaving Vietnam, but, count the days. Now, that's a heart decision. Or like you make a heart's decision, you want to buy a real special tool that's really going to do the job. You'll research it, find out the best brand, the ones the best quality. If you want to buy a piece of furniture, you do the same thing. You want to get an appliance, you research it and you get all excited and you just can't wait until you go get it. Well, that's the kind of decision you've got to make with your heart. That I want to be the sheep that can hear the voice of the shepherd. I want to be receptive to the paraclete that wants to teach and guide me. I already anticipate that I'm not going to be tomorrow what I was today. I'm not going to be next month what I was 3 months ago. I'm not going to be the man I used to be. Every day I'll be changed from one degree of glory to another. I can already see it. I can already anticipate it. Why? Because my heart, with all that I am, has said, this I will do. Now, when the heart is engaged, all else falls in line. The heart decision is not easily drowned out. We make commitments to get physically fit. We get busy. Life events come up. And pretty soon it's just a memory. But those who set their heart truly to something, nothing will get in the way. It is only by this level of commitment that what Jesus offered can be yours. Scripture says it this way. Neither death nor life, angels, principalities, things present, things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, or anything else in all creation will be able to separate me from the love of God. Did he leave anything out? God wants a love relationship with you. Means he wants to call you by name. God wants a love relationship with you. And he wants to defeat the destructive force of sin in your life. And he puts paraclete within you with power to change, with power to give you the ability to stand strong so that you can be a channel through which he can bless you as he moves through you to the blessing of others. What's going to separate you from that? Scripture says nothing in all creation could separate me from that. Only if in your heart you decide. I want to follow Jesus. I want to walk in this invitation that he offers me. All my heart, soul, mind, strength, and spirit will line up to that heart decision. If I'm motivated from my heart, my discipline will be in order. Those things that seek to distract me will have to take a second seat. So what's available for us in God is of a magnitude beyond capturing well with words. But it's clearly revealed. God wants to personally, specifically, team up with you with a transforming power so that he can express himself through you. It's quite a sentence. But that's what's available. Personally and specifically, team up with you with resurrection power inside of you, transforming you, allow you to be an expression of him through you to others. Whether we walk in it or not, we'll rise and fall as to whether we make a heart decision with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Deuteronomy 30 says, I call heaven and earth as a witness that today, God says, I set a choice before you. I set before you life and death. Choose life. Life is a journey of choices. This choice of what you do with this invitation that God offers you is the choice that surpasses all other choices combined. Joshua said, choose this day. Choose this day. Nail it down. Nail it down with your choice that above all things and everything, this I will do. It's a resolute, all-in, unwavering choice. It's the only way God can work what he needs to work in us. Nothing will overcome such a commitment. Nothing in all of God's creation, because resurrection power will be in you. To live a new life, to go in a new direction. You know, life can be an analogy like a stream. Jesus talked about a broad path everybody's walking down. Not knowing the path they're walking down leads off what? Cliff. If you haven't turned that boat around and start paddling upstream, you're heading off a cliff. This is the radical shift, the radical change, that I'm not going to be carried in the drift of my culture, but I'll make a decision that is a turnaround in my life, that with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, I will follow Jesus. I want this that he described to be a reality in my life. I'd been a Christian for probably 10, maybe much as 15 years when God confronted me with John 10. The sheep will hear my voice, and I'll call them out by name. And I said, God, I don't know what that means. It is time you do. And we started something new in my life when these were not just words that I could quote from Jesus, but these are words that I live in my life. I can lay down at peace in a surgical room. He can gouge and probe. He can do whatever he wants. But I'll lay there in peace. That's what God offers. And we have so much to experience that we have only just begun. Start imagining what it can be like in your life when these principles are the way you live. When God teaches you, guides you, leads you. When he gives you truth that dispels the darkness and the lies of the devil. When you get to sit at a front row seat when God's doing something. When God's speaking through you, God's acting through you, God is changing you, and you're saying, wow, this is not of me, this is God. Such is what is available. A heart decision will open or close the door. Let us pray. Waiting to go to heaven when you die is one of the greatest mistakes of Christianity. You don't have to wait. Scripture declares that you can be seated in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You can mount up with wings like eagles and fly. You can walk in the high places now. You can have fellowship with God. That is rich and pure, clean. You can stand on holy ground in the midst of a unholy world. Such is the invitation. Such is the opportunity. A heart of decision is what's required. Amen.